This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you had a lovely weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Monday, March the 28th, and 11 days after workers were sacked without notice, the fallout from P&O Ferries' decision continues. Today, bosses from two of their rivals have been meeting government officials. DFDS and Stena Lines are meeting ministers amid concerns about possible disruption over Easter if P&O ships are still unable to sail. It's now 11 days since sailings between Dover and Calais were suspended. Well, our business editor Chris Britcher joins me now. And Chris, after the pandemic, this Easter was probably going to be incredibly busy, wasn't it?
Hi, it certainly was. I mean, if you think about it, we've been unable to travel freely during any of the main holiday periods since the start of the pandemic back in March 2020. So there's an awful lot of pent-up demand there. And of course, many thought it would be perhaps safer to take the ferry or the Eurotunnel over to the continent for an Easter break. It is, as we know, outside of summer, the most popular time for a holiday. So the cross-channel operators would have been praying for a good Easter season to recoup some of the money lost over the last 2 years.
We've also heard today that all ferry operators sailing from ports in the UK could be forced to pay at least the minimum wage in a bid to get P&O to reinstate its sacked staff. Can you explain this one for us and why ministers are looking to bring in legislation?
Well, very simply, it's to avoid any future repeat of the fiasco we've seen this month. Basically, all ferry companies will operate under the flag of a particular nation, and in P&O's case, that's Cyprus, the consequences being that they believe they are tied to the financial regulations of that nation. P&O said they made the move due to Brexit and some tax breaks they could benefit from. But it's worth noting Cyprus doesn't have a statutory minimum wage, hence the reason they were able to bring in cheaper staff. What the government aims to do is introduce a law which would ensure that if you're operating in UK waters, then you pay the UK minimum wage. And that should stop a company like P&O being able to carry out the moves it has come into so much criticism for.
And the P&O Ferries chief exec was under immense pressure last week to quit. Any update on him and his position today?
Peter Hebblethwaite clings onto his position for now and is, one assumes, very deliberately keeping his head down. But the pressure on his position is growing. Even the Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said he should quit. We'll have to wait and see if he manages to cling onto his post or, as I suspect is slightly more likely, he'll be forced to step down.
Thanks ever so much, Chris. We'll do, of course, stay with Kent Online for ongoing developments regarding this story. The Transport Secretary has also written a scathing letter to the boss of P&O Ferries today, demanding those 800 sacked employees are given their jobs back. Grant Shapps says Peter Hebblethwaite's positions become untenable.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man in his 30s has died after being pulled from the River Medway. Emergency services were called to St Peter's Street in Maidstone at around 6:30 on Saturday morning. We're told the death is not being treated as suspicious. Staff at the Uni of Kent have walked out in a row over pay, pensions and working conditions. Members of the University and College Union are striking for 5 days, affecting lectures at campuses in Canterbury and Medway. Third-year students aren't happy, saying the action has thrown their studies into chaos. COVID rates in parts of Kent have gone above the national average. More than 1,600 people in every 100,000 have tested positive in Thanet and Ashford. The average UK rate is currently 843 people. Now, a crunch meeting this week could decide if a project dubbed Kent's Answer to Disneyland will ever be built. It's 10 years since the idea of London Resort on the Swanscombe Peninsula was first announced. In recent months, though, the BBC and ITV have both pulled their links with the project, with the land itself being named a site of special scientific interest. Well, Dartford MP Gareth Johnson has been speaking to our reporter Sean Delaney.
At the moment, we have an environmental habitat that exists there that's actually really vital for the local area, for local wildlife. It's a very important sort of area, if you like, regionally for migrating birds and so on. And, you know, initially, the idea of a theme park was a good one. I supported it. I thought that actually this could bring jobs to the area. And it's become increasingly clear, however, that over the last 10 years, jobs have actually been lost as a consequence of the theme park proposals, because the businesses that exist on the peninsula now are unable to plan for the future, and that has held them back and cost jobs. So we've got to now look at what's the future for the Swanscombe Peninsula, and I think that we can turn this into a local asset, not just for people today, but for future generations as well. And we can ensure that it's opened up so that local people could enjoy that for walks, for wildlife, just for local school children to learn and understand about the importance of wildlife. And that's not sort of an unrealistic aspiration. This is something with a small, modest amount of investment is really quite possible. You know, to have this wonderful asset on our doorstep is something that we should see as an opportunity now to turn this into a place that we're all proud of, all enjoy visiting, and is vital for the local environment.
Gareth Johnson also recently withdrew his support for the idea. A six-month inquiry into the application is expected to start in April. A virtual meeting of planners and resort bosses is due to take place tomorrow.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with car dealerships in Canterbury and Maidstone.
One of our most read stories today is that residents on an estate in Maidstone are worried they'll become isolated as their junction is shut off. Cranbourne Avenue on the Shepway Estate leads onto the A229 Lewes Road, but the route is being blocked as part of an experimental closure. We've been chatting to William, who lives in Marion Crescent. He reckons it's not been thought through properly.
My reaction is one of exasperation and total unbelief, because closing this junction is not going to solve the alleged problems at the Wheatsheaf Junction. They have failed to negotiate solutions to the main three contributing factors, and they've closed this road instead, which will give the residents in this area to the east side of the main road incredible difficulty in manoeuvring the narrow side roads, which will have more and more traffic thrown upon them, and that in itself is proving to be more difficult, because getting onto the main road is virtually impossible, because there are no traffic light controlled entrances within a mile and a half of this junction. One is a mile and a half that way, the other one is a mile and a half that way. And the problem that's going to cause the residents in this area, I don't think the council have really understood, or the council don't want to understand. And I really believe it's the latter, because this decision is being made by people who don't know the area. We are the residents, we know the problems, but this decision is being made by people who live in Bearsted and other parts of the county town, without adequate knowledge of what it's like to live in this area. And I'd love to see those councillors come along and have a look for themselves firsthand at this junction between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning to see what the problems are. But do we see them? No.
Meantime, John lives in Hampshire Drive. He's also not convinced.
It's not at all helpful for people living this road, or often people come up this road and go down onto the main road, so it means we've got to make a big detour, either right round there up to Sutton Road or down to Plains Avenue. And if you go to Plains Avenue and want to go into the town, it's very difficult to turn right. Otherwise you've got to go down Moat Park, and then you've got it makes that even busier. But it just virtually isolates this part of the estate. It's not very good at all. A lot of people go down there, and you get the queues going to Cranbourne Evans, so obviously they've got to go elsewhere to get onto the main road. It just creates another problem elsewhere. It just shifts the problem.
They were both speaking to our colleagues from KMTV. If you head to their section of Kent Online, you can watch the video report. This is all part of a wider plan for the junction surrounding the old Wheatsheaf pub, which is due to be demolished and replaced with a roundabout. Council bosses say they will be seeking opinions from people in the area. At Kent Online today, you can see a picture of a large knife found near to a primary school in Raynham. The 20-inch hunting blade was discovered in Edwin Road, not far from Bryony School and Nursery, shortly before pupils were due to walk home. It's since been collected by police, who say it'll most likely be destroyed. The Kent Online podcast has been told a third of children here in the South East are worried about their family having enough money to live comfortably. Action for Children has carried out a major study as the cost of living crisis continues. Compared to a similar report in 2019, the charities found children here are increasingly concerned about family finances along with their own mental health.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a Kent woman has spoken to the Kent Online podcast about changes to divorce laws. From next Wednesday, couples will be allowed to leave each other without forcing blame, meaning they can split far more amicably. Shelley, which isn't her real name, split from her husband after 30 years. She's told me how the current rules have made things incredibly difficult.
We ended up having various mediators. The process was particularly difficult because it wasn't a clear cut, it's your fault, you know, if someone has an affair, or, you know, it's a case of, right, well, you've done wrong, it's your fault, you know, and that's how it goes. But when I think marriages come to a close and it's no one's particular fault, it's really, really hard to find the reason, the real reason why you've got to this point. And I think it's very painful. It's painful regardless of the reason. But I just think when you have no fault, you have to make up reasons that to satisfy the court. And to do that, it can do nothing but cause pain, because you're essentially having to perhaps bring up things that have happened, but you have to, A, bring it up, which perhaps you wouldn't want to necessarily do because it's going to just cause more animosity. But B, you have to make it relevant enough so the court will pass it. And so it just feels more hurtful than it needs to be.
Yeah, people who feel that they've been done wrong, they probably do want that recognised to make them feel a little bit better about the situation, as better as they can do. But when there is no wrong, it would have just made that process simpler for you, would it, to be able to say, look, we've grown apart, this is what's happened, and we have a divorce, please.
Yeah, exactly, because you can then, you know, focus on what's important about going forward rather than looking back and trying to think of reasons, nitpicking excuses and, you know, horrible things to satisfy the court, not to actually keep things amicable. I think it just causes more animosity. It's completely unnecessary. And I think it's a good thing that the laws are changing.
Well, new research has shown that people are specifically waiting for those new rules to come into force to make things easier for themselves and their children. A rundown building that was unlawfully turned into bedsits in Margate is going to be transformed into a hotel. The council's approved the work for the Grade 2 listed property in Market Place. Developers say there are very few original features left, but they do hope to restore the layout and keep the rooms as large as possible. And George Ezra's made it an incredible 7 weeks at the top of the Kent Top 40 with Anyone For You. Charlie XCX Beg For You was a non-mover at number 2, while Jax Jones featuring Emenike stays at number 3 with Where Did You Go?
Kent Online Sport.
Football first, and it was a massive win for Gillingham at the weekend as they moved further from the League One relegation zone. They beat Accrington Stanley 2-1 away from home. The Gills were 10 points from safety when Neil Harris took over as manager at the end of January. They're now 4 points clear of the drop zone. He spoke to us after the final whistle.
We knew it was going to be tough today. We knew we'd have to stand up physically. And I've got to say, for the majority of the game we did, there was a few choice words at half-time from myself about our lack of quality and the physicality of a couple of players that didn't do enough for me first half. But key moments, goalkeeper, key moments, great saves. Other end, two clear-cut chances, we put the ball in the net. And football's about scoring goals at the key times and winning games. And today, credit to my players for finding a way. Goalkeeper man of the match for me. I thought it was excellent. I thought my centre forwards were really good and goalkeeper was excellent. I'll let the rest off in between because they've been very good since I've got here. But tackle at key moments. You need your goalkeeper to stand strong, and he did. And centre forward Charlie Kelman, I've talked about before, he's got the ability to score goals at this level, I believe, if he's got the confidence in himself. And Big V is a handful and just showed his aggression and what he's about going up against the young goalkeeper.
Well, the manager there just mentioned him, so let's hear from goal scorer Charlie Kelman.
It doesn't matter how we get 3 points, at the end of the day, no one's going to remember the game, they're just going to remember the scoreline in 3 or 4 weeks' time. You know, every game that we play, we need 3 points now or picking up results. So at the end of the day, we win today, go again next Saturday and keep going until we're at the end of the season.
Also, a tough task for us because Accrington's home record has been really, really good of late, and to come here and take all 3 points, what's the mood like in the dressing room?
To be fair, the gaffer didn't tell us till after. He wanted us to just focus on the game, which is good. But, you know, we were buzzing, but at the end of the day, we were also disappointed that, you know, it weren't the best performance, but 3 points, that's all that matters in this football.
It's another huge game at the weekend. The Jewels travel to take on Sunderland on Saturday. And in cricket, Kent's Zach Crawley struggled with the bat as England were beaten by 10 wickets in the final test against the West Indies. He could only manage 7 and 8 runs in their 2 innings in Grenada. The result means England have lost the series 1-0 and now gone 5 series without success for the first time in their history. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Plus, you can get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site. To do it, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall.